I hope so. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm looking forward to you guys singing, leading with us, for us, singing for us at the end of the service as well. Vivid dreamers. Any of you guys have vivid dreams? Raise your hand if you've ever had a dream. Ever. Wow, there are a few hands that are not up. Okay, you guys are missing out. Have you ever had a dream that scared you? Okay, the hands start shooting up now. You know, what made it scary? And did you share it with anybody else? This is a question that I'm going to ask that maybe one person in-house will share their dream. And one person online, if you guys have time to write in your comments box, write about a dream that scared you. I'm not talking about like a nightmare, but something that just kind of shook you to the core. I was a lifeguard in high school. It was a good job for me. I spent hours upon hours watching people inside the nicest pool in the state of Montana. Now, I don't know if that's saying anything. It was not an outdoor pool. I will tell you, side note, the person, I never passed the distance portion of the test. So my boss ultimately told me, she says, I'm going to pass you right now, but don't ever lifeguard in the ocean because it wouldn't have been good. So anyways, hundreds of hours, probably in the thousands of hours lifeguarding. And I remember one day in particular. One day, it's because I had a dream the night before. All right, in that dream, I could see very clearly, it's open swim, afternoon time, so it's the crazy chaos. You know, parents are tossing up their kids in the air, they're laughing, they're splashing. Junior high boys are splashing junior high girls in an effort to flirt with them. There's people who are swimming laps in the lap lane. And I remember, you know, just the normal chaos, this is in the dream, of an afternoon swim, but I could hear a specific splashing. And the splashing just kept growing. And then out of that splashing, I heard, help, James, help, right? And of course, I woke up with a start, not knowing, you know, what that meant or anything, but I think it ultimately went back to sleep. I don't usually have too much problems doing that. Went to work the next day, right? Started at noon, was working the noon to night shift, so afternoon open swim, and everything was normal. Everything. I was watching the kiddie pool, all right? The kiddie pool doesn't get any deeper than above your knees. Still a decent size kiddie pool, about the size of half a tennis court. And I'm sitting there on a chair, and I'm watching, I'm scanning like they train you to do, right? And I see a kid floating face down in the ground, or not on the ground, in the water. But kids do that. They look at the bottom of the pool. So I'm scanning, and I scan a few more times. It's the same kid, I notice, is still floating there face down. So, of course, I get up, right? I get up off the chair and I take a couple steps towards the pool and keep scanning, and the kid's just not moving. So it was long enough. I blew the whistle, like the entire pool just went silent. And then I went running into the kiddie pool, just Baywatch style, okay? Picture David Hasselhoff. Don't picture. Running it. Everybody, like the whistle blew, everybody's turned and looked. And I kid you not, I'm inches from this kid. And right when I get to grab her, she's like, hi. And she couldn't understand why I picked her up. And like, are you okay? Are you okay? I count that as a tie, okay? She did not drown, and I did not have to save her. But I did have the slow, sheepish walk back to my lifeguard chair because everybody in the pool had watched me save some little girl who wasn't drowning, right? I sat back down, was still on edge from the dream the night before. Got through open swim just completely fine, and everybody clears out. It's then family swim, and we had like two people swimming laps, and one dad with his two kids that were in the main pool, a good-sized pool. Didn't get any deeper than chest deep, maybe 6 feet at the very end of it. But I was on the upper lifeguard chair, and this dad was trying to teach his two kids how to swim. All right, so he'd put one on the edge, and he'd take the other one out and swim around a little bit and come back and switch. And, you know, a lot quieter, so I'm still focused, but it's a different type of attentiveness. And I'm sitting there, and I hear a splash. Not a big one, but just a little one. And I didn't hear any help, James, help, or any of that, but I just hear a whoop. And of course, I looked down, and the kid on the side of the pool had gone in. Dad's 15, 20 feet away. I didn't have to wait this time to look and see if, you know, if they're going to pop back up. There's like two or three steps off the chair, arm deep into the water with these eyes just looking up, right? And the kid comes up spitting water, and the dad was super, super grateful. I fully believe the dream the night before that scared me so much was so that I would be attentive for that moment right there. I didn't tell anybody about that dream that day. Had I told somebody, somebody else probably would have been said, it's fine, you know, you don't, nothing to worry about. But I'm glad that I was on edge that day. You ever had a dream that scared you, that put you on edge, that just kind of shook you to the core? I'm going to pray, and then hopefully we've got one person in-house and hopefully one person online who has shared their dream in the comment box. Let's pray. Jesus, every Sunday I come in wondering what it is you want to say, what it is you want us to hear, what message you want to come across. I pray that we would listen to your message this morning. I pray that you would give me the insight and discernment to say the things that you want and to not say the things, even if I've planned them, that you don't want. Help us leave today, Lord, having had an encounter with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so any dreamers, any one person who wants to share a short dream that scared them? We have a microphone because we've learned that if we have long bits of silence, then our friends online just experience long bits of silence. So anybody, the microphone's been wiped clean, have a dream that scared them? There we go. Thank you. Susan is going to share a dream that scares her. She's going to be mic'd so all of our friends online can hear.
Okay, you have to know that when Kendra was little, she was a daredevil, okay? Nothing scared her, and she was into everything. And I had a dream, and it was very short, but all I dreamed was that she was screaming for help, and I couldn't reach her. Now, I can't say anything happened the next day or anything, but I spent about 3 hours that night walking back and forth between my children's bedrooms and checking on my children. I didn't really sleep after that dream because in the dream, I couldn't reach her.
Hmm. Wow. Those are ones you remember, too. I mean, how many nights have you slept, you know, and yet you remember that one where you're going back and forth between Kendra's room and yours? So I'm hoping that somebody online they're typing slow, and we'll come back to their dream. We're in a sermon series this Advent titled In Light and Darkness. In Light and Darkness, because light and darkness, both needed, both necessary, both parts of the Advent story. Last week we focused in on the fact that darkness isn't all that bad. In fact, what we found was that darkness emphasizes the light. It highlights the light more. We spent time looking at the first five verses in the Gospel of John, and spent some time looking at that last part of the fifth verse where it says, "Darkness can't extinguish the light." Now, one of the other verses that we mentioned was 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. It says this: "This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all." God is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. If you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to remember this. Even though there's no darkness in God, God joins us in the dark. Okay? Even though there's no darkness in God, He is with us in the dark, so we don't need to fear. We get to see this in a couple of dreams and visions that you'll recognize the stories right away. We're going to start in Luke. Luke chapter 1. It's the story of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Okay, so that one might not have been a dream. Doesn't appear to be a vision. It appears to be an angelic encounter. But let's listen to how her fiancé, how he experienced what most people believe is the same angel visiting him as well. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 24. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife." These are familiar texts to us during Christmas season, right? Traditional Advent texts. And depending on how many times you've been in church over Christmas, you could have heard sermons preached on this text anywhere from 1 to 100 different times. So the challenge in any Advent, any Christmas season, is to retell the same story in a way that catches us new. And one of the ways I try and do that when prepping is just to ask questions that may or may not normally be asked on a Sunday morning, right? So the first question that I asked when I compared these two texts was this: would either Joseph or Mary have recognized Gabriel? Did he wear a name tag? Right? Or did they just, was it assumed that they would recognize him? Because big bulging muscles, right? Real big sword, some fancy, fancy wings. I don't know. Had Mary heard of her relative Zechariah and his encounter with an angel? The angel told her that Elizabeth was pregnant, so I'm not sure if she had known before, but her cousin or uncle, whatever the relation was, had encountered the same angel, and he had introduced himself. In fact, Luke chapter 1, verse 19 says this. It says, "Then the angel said," this is to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news." Okay, so I was sitting there thinking, like, would Mary and Joseph have recognized him? Was there any tie to Zechariah? And then, of course, I went on a little rabbit trail, so bear with me for a second. About 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call from Bria. Bria, if you're watching, glad you're watching. She's a freshman in college, grew up in our student ministry, family still attends here. She called me and said, "Hey, you got time to talk? My boyfriend has a question." Of course, I thought she was still in third grade, so I was, amazed that she was a freshman in college and had a boyfriend. But anyways, called her back, and she said, he didn't grow up in the church, so we're studying Luke, and he had this great question. He read the encounter of the angel Gabriel with Zechariah, right? And Zechariah asked the angel, when he told him that his wife was going to be pregnant, because his wife was real old, he says, "How can this be?" What happened to Zechariah? He got struck mute, right? Ask the question, the angel said, "You can't talk." Next 9 months, 9 and a half, 10 months, however long it is. Okay? So, Mary, we just heard the story, asked the same question. How can it be? Bria said, "What happened to Mary?" "Nothing." The angel said, "Oh, you're blessed. God likes you. Let me tell you how it's going to happen." And nothing happened to her. So Bria's boyfriend says, "That's not fair, is it?" These are the type of questions that, that hopefully get asked as we're wrestling with traditional texts that we know inside and out. Ask many more questions like this, But ultimately, I kept coming back to this idea that even though there's no darkness in God, God's going to join us in the dark. All right? And I saw that in these two stories of the angel Gabriel's visit to Joseph and Mary. What was the one thing that Gabriel, and there may have been more than one thing, but what was one of the things that Gabriel told both Joseph and Mary? That they're going to have a son. So much for the gender reveal party, right? I know that all of Joseph's family was looking forward to that Instagram moment when they had the pink firecrackers or the blue firecrackers go off. How much of a bummer was that? Not what I'm looking for, but he told them both they were going to have a son. What else did he tell them? Told them both this. Don't be afraid. That's what I'm looking for. Why in the world would an angel have to tell them don't be afraid? All right, so I started wrestling with that question, started thinking through that. More than likely, angel visits weren't all that common back then, much like they're maybe not all that common today, or at least we don't recognize them. But Mary and Joseph probably would have known, in fact, I'm pretty sure they would have known the stories of some of the angel visits in their history. All right, this thing way back to Genesis. And there was an angel visit when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels came and they talked to a man named Lot. All right, so track with me. Angel visit, scary episode. Fire falling from heaven. Not cool. All right, another angel visit that both Joseph and Mary probably would have heard of. Joshua, Moses' mentor, Joshua. He's on the river about to embark on the conquest of the promised land. And an angel shows up. This is Joshua chapter 5. Angel of the Lord's army is what it says. All right, not exactly a happy, clappy moment. Anytime you're going to start a war, there's going to be death, there's going to be pain. So again, angel visit, scary days ahead. By the time Daniel and the lion's den, he encountered an angel. He was having all these crazy dreams and visions. And in Daniel chapter 10, it says this. On April 23rd, I, Daniel, was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Angel? Yeah. Yes. Okay? So what was his response? Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified. They ran away and hid. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale. I felt very weak. And then I heard the man speak. And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted. And I laid there with my face down to the ground. All right, angel visit. Terror ensued. Now, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord, who knows if he's big and bulky and muscular and winged and a sword or anything. I don't know what he looked like. But he shows up to Mary, and he shows up to Joseph. And he says to both of them, don't be afraid. I think he knew they needed to hear that because there were dark days coming, dark days ahead. And though we may not normally think of it like this, the message that he gave them was a terrifying message. It was a terrifying message. I think so often during the Advent season when lights and presents and carols and candy abound, we think that these angelic visits to Joseph and Mary were just, they were filled with peace on earth and goodwill towards men, right? That they just welcomed this visit and this message, but I'm not convinced that that's what they experienced. All right. Again, we've probably heard this text preached anywhere from 1 to 100 different times. You read it multiple times during each year. But listen again through the lens or through the ears of each character. All right. Listen to it from Joseph's perspective. Guy's well thought of in society. He's engaged to be married. He falls asleep and he has a dream that probably terrifies him. For the marriage, while Mary was still a virgin, she became pregnant, the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is a good man, wasn't going to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement. Now the angel appears and says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. First time he's heard this, not 100 times with Christmas trees and candles in front of him. Don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. The child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She'll have a son. You're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is part of a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled. Okay, if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, what are you thinking? Are you scared? Because I would be. Scared for what? Well, let's think about it. In that day and age, somebody gets pregnant before they're married. Not a good outcome. Okay, adultery, potential stoning for her, maybe even Joseph. You think about maybe the fear that he is experiencing for the social stigma and the fallout that would ensue. Okay, that's maybe his first thoughts there. But then take it deeper. This angel said that his fiance was going to have a baby. Not his. It was God's baby. We tame this down too much during the Advent season. If I'm Joseph, wait, my fiance is going to have God's baby? That's scary. Okay, and not only that, but this baby's going to save people from their sins? What? Who? How is that going to take place? And the fact that Joe was going to be part of a prophecy, scary times ahead. Now, we're assuming, because this is what happened, not even assuming, we know that Joseph listened. But you got to figure, Joe like woke up and was like, oh man, should I listen? Should I obey? Because if I do, there's going to be dark days ahead. But if I don't, there's going to be dark days ahead. No wonder Gabriel had to say, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, let's look at Mary and her experience. When we think of Mary getting this angel visit, I don't know which movie it was, but you know, she's out in the field and the angel kind of shows up. And I think we often picture her kind of just calm and, you know, peaceful, hands kind of clasped like this, right? Young, innocent, fully submissive. You know, every once in a while, taking time to polish her halo, right? I mean, that's how a lot of people picture Mary. And yet, if you read her story, not what it was like. Right? The angel shows up, and what does it say was her reaction? Confused and disturbed. And I would probably say scared as well. Scared as well. Young girl, angel shows up, says what? You found favor with God. You're going to be pregnant. Don't worry about it, okay? I'm going to give him a throne of your ancestor David. He's going to be son of the Most High. He'll be a king forever and ever. This is not glowing halo, calm and unfazed Mary. This is dazed and confused and disturbed, terrified. And why? Found favor with God. That's enough to make your head start to spin. Okay, that's good, but what was I doing? What was I not doing? Oh, my goodness. Birth to a son. Never been with a man. Okay? How's that going to happen? Holy Spirit. Wait, what? You're going to give the kid a throne. The throne of our ancestor David. That's like the main throne of the Israelite history. Kingdom's never going to end. Okay, at 13, 14, 12 years old, what's she feeling right now? Pressure. Pressure is a mom, right? Terrified pressure. So the angel Gabriel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I mean, it's as if he's saying there's no darkness in God, but God's going to join you in the darkness ahead. And I've got to wonder, did Mary and Joseph remember this charge, this challenge to not be afraid when they had to pick up their little boy and flee to Egypt? Did they remember this exhortation when they caught wind of the fact that Herod had killed every boy baby under the age 2, trying to kill their son? Years later, did Mary remember Gabriel's challenge to not be afraid as she watched her grown son be arrested, beaten, crucified? I mean, when we think of the days ahead for Joseph and Mary, those were dark days. This wasn't Joseph and Mary sitting in their favorite new Christmas jammies next to a tree with lights on it with presents. This rocked their world. And it rocked the world that God was entering as well. So could Mary and Joseph, would they, did they cling to this do not be afraid? I've got to believe that they did. And for us today, there's a lot of fa-la-la-la-lying during a December. But I'm not so sure there was as many smiles on Joseph and Mary's faces during those times. God was with them. And he's with us too. So why share a message like this for us today? I mean, we're looking at light, we're looking at darkness. You know, November and December are two of, it's statistically found, two of the most challenging months for a lot of people. These are dark days for a lot of people. You know, many people in broken families are trying to figure out how do we celebrate the holidays while keeping it somewhat normal for our kids. You know, perhaps some people are celebrating the holidays for the first time without a loved one, or for the 10th or 15th or 20th time without a loved one, and yet they miss them just as much. Maybe this year with COVID, the social isolation is really creating darkness and heaviness for a lot of people. Maybe there's relationships that are aggravated by the additional stress of the holidays. Maybe it's just the darker nights and the longer days. I mean, I was up for 2.5 hours this morning before it even got light. You talk about a dark way to start a day. There's darkness in these holiday seasons, in these months. You Google holiday depression and you will get thousands of links. But even though there's no darkness in God, God's with us in our darkness if we find ourselves there during the holiday season. You know, Jesus entered our story, the story on a planet that was full of hurt, pain, and sorrow and darkness. He enters our story, and he's not going anywhere. And I have no intention of, you know, having 4 weeks of some gloomy, somber, bummer of an Advent season, but I think we do ourselves a disservice if we don't recognize the fact that there is darkness that takes place during this season. Whether we're experiencing it or just our loved ones or others that we know are experiencing it, we need to at least be aware of it. And in that darkness, even though there's no darkness in God, we can be confident that God is with us in the dark. So wherever you find yourself this week, remember that message that Gabriel gave to both Joseph and Mary. Do not be afraid, because God's with you. Let's pray. God, that's a message that we all need to be reminded of. No matter how many times we've heard the Christmas story, no matter how many times we've heard of you sending Gabriel to talk to Joseph and to Mary, we need to be reminded that we don't have to be afraid. That doesn't mean we won't, but we can be reminded of your presence with us. Lord, I pray that as we enter fully into this December, you know, a month that can be full of joy and happiness, but also a month that can be tremendously challenging for so many people, I pray that you would give us eyes to see those who are hurting, whether it's us or those around us. Would you give us ears to hear their stories, just to listen? And would you give us hearts to encourage them and remind them that even in their darkness, God is with them? Help us to do that well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.